Blog Talk Radio.
The doctor came in and resuscitated us because we are live. Welcome to the show. Currently, you're looking at growth topics, but we're kicking around some ideas for a name. I'm thinking maybe able topics, a little play on words for you Toastmasters out there. We talk about topics that make you more able. The catch, though, is if you say it, you have to say it in a Cockney accent, so you drop the T and you go, able topics. We'll see what happens. It's still a work in progress. So welcome to the show. This is our first in a series of hopefully many where we basically lay down anything and everything informational and educational to help give you some gems that you can use in your everyday life and improve your quality of living. And for our first episode, I happen to secure a fantastic guest today. I have Bob Dietrich. He is a distinguished Toastmaster. Bob became a Toastmaster in 1999. He left Toastmasters in 2000 and was asked to come back. I think they begged him to come back. In 2001, when his club, San Diego 7, which is now an 85-year-old club, was on the brink of folding as membership dropped to just 3 members. Since then, he has helped his club become the highest performing club in San Diego with over 50 members, and Bob has served District 5 as the Area 7 governor, the Speaker's Bureau Chair, the TLI Lace Chair, and is currently serving as the Public Relations Officer. Bob earned the Toastmaster of the Year Award for the 2012-2013 Toastmaster Year and is currently leading a group of Toastmasters through a keynote speaking workshop based upon Judy Carter's book, The Message of You. In addition to his 15 years in Toastmasters, Bob has spent thousands of hours working with personal growth companies, including Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad programs, Jeff Walker's Product Launch Formula, PSI Seminars, Landmark Education, the Chopra Center, Neil Donald Walsh's programs, the Augie Network, Biology of Belief, and BioCybernaut. And professionally, Bob is the owner and founder of Applied Green Technologies, Inc., Greenpoint Distribution, Inc., and Chen Green, Inc., which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to raising social consciousness for the betterment of our planet and everyone on it. That is quite an extensive resume, so we are happy to have Bob here. I'm excited to have him on. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Caden. How's it going, man?
It's going well. How's it going with you?
Good, good. I'm very excited to be on your show. You're talking about one of my favorite, all-time favorite topics, personal growth. And I know that it's a broad topic, but I'm excited to dig deep into this topic and pull out some nuggets that everyone can walk away with.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is our goal today is, granted, it is a broad topic, but hopefully we can create a little bit of definition. Of course, that will be subjective, but some definitions from yourself, and then we can talk through a few things. And I got some questions here for you that hopefully we can pull out some, like I said, some gems, and anyone listening can use in their personal everyday life. So just to
Sounds
kick
great.
Everything off, yeah, awesome. Just to kick everything off, I wanted to find out a little history on basically, how did you first get into personal growth?
You know, it's interesting. I was playing baseball. I used to play adult baseball, and I remember I was 32 years old, and I was getting pretty good. I was using visualization. I finally kind of started mastering visualization after I was playing baseball, and I watched my average jump from 300 to like 500, and I was dating this girl at the time, and her mother was begging me to go to this class. She kept saying, "Oh, you need to go to this weekend seminar." And I'm all, "No, I play baseball on weekends, thank God, because I don't want to go to your stupid seminar." And one day, I was playing, I dove for a ball, and I caught it, but I twisted my hand back. And when I caught the ball, the guy at second tagged up, and I jumped up and threw the ball to third, and I threw him out from center field, so it was a double play. And then walking in, I'm shaking my hand, because I could feel my hand was hurt, and I wasn't sure what happened. And so I was supposed to be at bat next, and I went and grabbed my bat and tried to swing it, and the pain was excruciating. I go, "I'm out. I don't know what happened, but I think I broke it." And sure enough, I broke my two metacarpals and my little finger and my ring finger on my left hand. And so I was out for the rest of the year. I had a cast on, had to have surgery on the hand. And as it turns out, 2 weekends later, cast and everything, you know, my girlfriend's mom called. At this time, I'm broken up with her. And she says, hey, I still want to invite you to the seminar. And I'm like, all right, I'll go. She had a free seat or something like that. And so I wound up going, and it changed my life. It was, like, amazing. I learned some incredible stuff in my class. So that's how I got started.
And what was this seminar that you first went to?
It was called PSI Seminars. It was started in the 80s by a guy named Thomas Wilhite. And he took some basic sales techniques and exercises and turned them into personal growth type exercises. And it was really amazing. What the exercises did and the process did was help me become more aware of my behavior and my thinking. And what I realized going through the program was that if I could change my thinking, I would change my results. Because the only difference between me and the people who have the kind of results I've always dreamed of having is the way I think about money, the way I think about business, the way I think about relationships, the way I think about health. And when I change my thinking more in line with their thinking or with the kind of person that's going to get the kind of results I wanted to create in my life, then I could have that. But until I had that, I was not going to get there. And that, when I realized that, then I really started to get excited about personal growth.
Very nice. And we're going to be thrown around this topic here for a while. So let's go ahead and define, from your perspective, how do you define personal growth?
Well, personal growth is, you're always growing, right? Let's face it. You know, you're going through life, you're learning things. And you know how you have these aha moments, these epiphany moments, and they come, you know, they come every once in a while. And we learn. Eventually we get to a place, like a lot of people get to a place where they learn things about life and what to do and not to do and how to act and create certain results. But when you go through personal growth training, you get there faster. And that's the thing is that, you know, why do you want to wait till you're later in life to learn these things that can help you now? Why learn through trial and error what somebody else has already put down on paper? You know, it's kind of why we read books, is so we can learn it now instead of having to try and live it and learn it through trial and error. That's how technology advances. So that's what personal growth is. It's about, you know, learning the lesson now. And when you learn it in personal growth, like let's say you read a book or you take a seminar or something, you learn it in a safe environment where you can have those epiphanies and aha moments in a group dynamic where you are you know, you're interacting with other people and you're going through exercises. You're not learning it where all your money's on the line or your relationship's on the line or you have a chance of getting fired. You know, this is like in a safe environment where you're going through exercise, you're reflecting on your life, reflecting on your results, reflecting on your thought processes. You're in exercises where you simulate things and then you get the lesson from that and you have the epiphany after epiphany after epiphany in that class. And to me, that's what personal growth is. It's actually accelerated personal growth because we're all in personal growth, but it's a matter of accelerating it so you can get it now and get the results faster.
I like that, accelerated. That's good. Yeah, and if I had to add anything to that, that was phenomenal. If I had to tag anything else on there, I'd kind of put it in this way of if you're trying to become a better baseball player, for example, you're going to practice, you're working the fundamentals, and through all this routine, you're supposed to become a better baseball player. And the way I see personal growth is to develop you into becoming a better human being. And whether that be for yourself and people around you, it's working on the parts of ourselves that we don't really take inventory of on a regular basis. And the personal growth concept really puts these things into light for us and gives us something to work on. And I like that. I like what you're talking about is taking it to a taking a guided approach. Going in and having walking through it, so you don't have to reinvent this wheel. The wheel's already been invented, and you just find a way to hop on it and ride. So that's good. I like that. And outside of the seminar that you first went to, what was the first book that you picked up on personal growth, or the first type of material that you came across?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I would say there's two books that come to mind when you ask that question. The first one is actually a book on tape, and I'm a big fan of books on tape. Frankly, I don't read well, and mostly because it's boring to me. But I listen well, especially when I'm in the car, and I can hear it over and over again. And I remember somebody gave me this cassette tape series called Lead the Field by Earl Nightingale. And I learned that, and I really started to get courted, if you will, by personal growth at that point, because it was really so captivating. It talked about, attitude was number one, and your attitude changes everything, and which your attitude's reflection of your thoughts and stuff. But, I didn't know that now. I was just dipping my toe into it, and it was so interesting. I remember listening to it over and over again. It was pretty captivating. And then later, once I started my personal growth practice, I should say, I started listening to a book called Conversations with God, which was interesting because it was like that's more of a spiritual book than it is a personal growth book, you think. But it really, started to shatter some of the dogmas I had around religion. That kind of stopped me because, when I started going to personal growth as a Christian, I was, looking at it and saying, geez, there's a conflict here because the Bible says one thing and personal growth says something else. And then I started reading Conversation with God, and I really started opening myself up to a bigger version of God is what I call it, a bigger version of spirituality. And it's been an amazing experience. I had an amazing spiritual path that I am forever grateful, and I feel more closer and connected with my spirituality than I was before. So those would be the two books I'd say that had the biggest impact.
Nice. And to all the kids listening, I just wanted to reiterate, Bob said reading is boring. But just to add to your point, though, the book on tape is a phenomenal method if you're not a fan of reading or if you feel you don't have the time to read. The book on tape is something that, that hour and a half that we all spend stuck in traffic, that's a time that you can listen and you're essentially reading a book, but it's absorbing into you. So you can utilize your car as this mobile university and use this time where you're stuck in traffic as a way to learn. And that's a great point. And Nightingale, for anyone who hasn't heard, he had just this voice that would grab you. And definitely, he's not exactly a new age guy. What was do you know the date of that Leaving the Field? Do you know how far back that was?
Oh, geez. It went probably back to the 60s or so, but, that particular recording I think was done in the 80s. Earl Nightingale was part of Nightingale Comet, which was one of the first, personal growth companies out there. So they were really pioneers in the field. I didn't know it at the time. I just handed this trait set. Somebody said, hey, listen to this. But they turned out to be quite the pioneers in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And personal growth is nothing new. And that's what's so amazing about it. You listen to Earl Nightingale from, the 50s or 60s, and you say, wow, that was a handful of years ago, and these same concepts are being taught today. And based on the concepts and everything that you've come across so far, what stood out the most for you? Have you been able to pick out one key idea that's been a guiding principle for you?
I think there's one that sticks out for me, and that was by Thomas Wilhite, the founder of PSI Seminars. I did a lot of work with them, and he said something that has stuck with me since I heard it. And what it was you are paid in direct proportion to the service you render mankind. And I wasn't quite sure what that meant when I first heard it. And then as I dug deeper into it, I started to realize what that really meant. And what that really meant was that, if you're a waiter or a waitress, let's say, for example, right, you're serving tables, you're serving the community, you provide a service to the community, but you can only serve a certain number of people. I mean, you'll have a limited bandwidth, limited capacity. But as you learn to create and get creative with the ways you serve your community, and you learn to serve people, more people at once, you're going to get paid a higher wage. You're going to get paid more for your services. So you're serving humanity in a bigger scale, and therefore you will earn more. And with the internet, it gives us that perfect platform to do it. So when when he says, you're paid in direct proportion to the service you render mankind, if you're a teacher teaching 20 students, you get paid one wage. If you're a teacher teaching 20,000 students online, you may get paid another.
That's a good point, definitely. And that ties into the concept of giving and receiving, is the more you give, the more likely you are to receive, just because you're putting more out there, and the more people you service, in a sense, the more you get paid in return. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And naturally, I mean, in life, we're going to encounter a various amount of challenges. And aside from the spiritual contradiction that you found early on in the personal mm-hmm. growth, what else have you found to be the biggest challenge as you're going through this exploration of yourself through personal growth?
Well, the challenge is, I guess my biggest challenge is to not react to other people, because, people are triggered by all sorts of different things. I'm triggered, you could say something to me that would trigger me, and you and I'd be in an argument, perhaps. Probably not on this show, but you know what I mean. And so people are triggered by different things. And when I'm triggered by somebody, I have a choice. I could not react. Or when something happens to me, I have a choice. I could see it as I was responsible, as opposed to I was a victim or something happened to me. So always remembering that I have a choice, and that I'm making decisions in everything that I do, which is something I got from Anthony Robbins. Tony Robbins' books have really been an inspiration as well. And the point of decision is where all your power is. When you make that decision, to go to the gym or to drive through McDonald's, I mean, that's a powerful decision. That's where your point of change is. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I got, outside of the spiritual transformation.
Okay. So somebody's listening to this episode, or they've heard the word mm-hmm. personal growth before, and they want to get started, but they have no idea how. What would you recommend to someone who wants to get started? Because you can go into the self-help section, so to speak, of any mm-hmm. bookstore, mm-hmm. and there's at least 50 books, more like 100, more like a few mm-hmm. hundred, in this realm of personal growth. And how do you sift through it all, and where do you start?
Mm-hmm. What I would say to somebody that's saying, hey, I want to start doing something, where do I start? I would say, I would ask him, who do you want to become? And find somebody who is similar to how you want to become, and learn what they did. Emulate them. And once you've got it down, once you've emulated them sufficiently, then you can start to tweak it yourself and then do your own self, become more of the way you are. Because, these people that have created results are doing something. And so to emulate them, you can create similar results. If you were to say, well, what company do you go to? Well, they're all good. They all teach good stuff. You might connect with Jim Rohn or Dom Miguel Ruiz or some of these other people out there, Deepak Chopra. And you can go online and you can type in their names in YouTube. You can type in personal growth in YouTube and maybe scan through some of these people and find who you connect with. Who do you like listening to? Maybe somebody has a certain accent you don't like, or a certain tone. Maybe you connect with a woman. There are plenty of women out there that talk about personal growth, and some of them are phenomenal. So, I would say find somebody you want to emulate and study them, emulate them, and then sample some stuff on YouTube, on the internet, and see who you really resonate with them. And then you could also ask other people that are your friends, what do they do? What have they taken that is interesting? But the thing to do is don't get too caught up with that analysis. When you find something interesting, sign up for it. Pay for it, and then deal with you freaking out about the fact that you paid for it, because you know, once you pay for it, I've always been told this, and it's so true. Once you pay for your program, let's say you're going to go to a live program. Once you pay for it, your seminar has likely begun because they're not cheap, and and a lot of people have money issues. So dealing with the fact that you just spent, you know, $1,000 on a seminar for the weekend freaks some people out. And I'm not sure why, because they just spent $60,000 on their MBAs. But, you know, so there you go.
And that's a good point, too. And a lot of times we'll go to the bookstore and we'll look on the back cover of the book for the price. And we're trying to equate the price of the book to the value of the content. And if you really get into this, and you can attest from experience, if you really get into this, a $30 book on personal growth doesn't give you $30 worth of growth material. It's almost invaluable. But if you apply it and you see your income increase, you're going to make more than $32. And same thing with these seminars, too, is it's a relatively small price to pay for the person that you can end up becoming. So that's
absolutely. It's an investment in yourself. And you know what? When you look at things that you can make in the stock market or in real estate or whatever, none of them will come close to the investment that you make in yourself through these types of programs.
Absolutely. You'll pay yourself far higher dividends than any stock ever could. And so as an outsider, someone who's never gotten into personal growth, someone who's heard the term, there could be a certain stigma attached to it, and it's easy to dismiss it as, well, that's ridiculous. It could never work. So what would you say to someone who's skeptical of the whole personal growth concept?
Well, I would say, you know, if you haven't tried it, and you clearly haven't tried it, if you're skeptical, then you don't know. And you should try personal growth. I mean, you know, you got to give it a shot. There's so much to gain from it. And when you think about your thinking, you know, your thinking creates your actions. And if you are continuing to think the same thing and take the same actions and create the same results, then you're not going to change. And if your goal is to change and create different results, earn higher income, have better relationships, have better health, feel closer in your spiritual life or whatever, if you want to change in those areas, you have to change your thinking. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand how to change your thinking. In my personal opinion, personal growth is all about changing your thinking to get the results you want for your life.
Well put. So let's get an idea so far. How long has it been since you've been involved in personal growth, and what can you say that it has done for you?
Well, I've been involved in personal growth since 1997, since I took my first class. And actually, I started listening to those tapes even before then, but I really got involved in 1997. It was hardcore. I've spent literally thousands of hours working in this field on myself, on changing my thinking, and then helping other people change theirs. And and there's a couple things I've been thinking about, you know, being on this show, and some couple things that I wanted to share that have made the difference for me. And there's four things that I have changed about myself fundamentally that I make sure that I am focused on in my life, and I want to share them with the listeners today so they can take this away and perhaps use this or implement these in their life if it resonates with them. The first thing that I'd like to share is that I've done, that I've changed, is I'm clear about my future. I'm clear about my vision and about what I want my future to look like. And so now I have a target to shoot for. I have a point A. I have a direction for me to take steps in. A lot of people I see, they don't know what they want to do. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they want to create, yet they want change. And so it's like saying, well, I want to go to, you know, a certain place in the United States, but without knowing the name of the place or the address, you can't put it into your GPS system and you can't get there. So you need to be clear about your future. And some people feel stuck. If you feel stuck in your life, it's because either you don't have a vision for your future that's not clear, or you're not taking steps into that future and into that vision. So that's number one. The second thing I would say is that a change that works really well for me, and I highly suggest, is always be involved in education. Always be educating yourself somehow. And educating doesn't mean like enroll in a college class. That's the last thing I would recommend. Not that they're bad, just that there's so much other better information out there that you can digest, consume and digest faster than trying to go through a college class. One of them would be a weekend seminar. Those are awesome because they have a group dynamic. If you can't go there or you don't have the budget for that, pick up a book. They're cheap. I mean, go on Audible. We just talked about that. You can get in that for $7 a month and download books faster. You'd get books, download books faster than you can listen to them. So always be educating yourself somehow in some kind of practice. You and I both practice in Toastmasters. That's a great way to always be educating yourself, always be learning something new. The third thing I implore in my life or implement in my life is having a mentor and mentoring others. If I don't have a mentor, then it's hard to have somebody that's, you know, I'm bouncing things off of, and somebody that's I'm learning from and getting ideas from. So I always try to have a mentor in my life, and more importantly, I'm always mentoring other people. And I'll tell you, when you look at the mentor-mentee or mentor-protege relationship, you always think that the protege is getting all the information, all the wisdom from the mentee. That's not necessarily true. The mentor gets so much out of that relationship, I would say more than the protege, because the mentor is reflecting on their own thoughts, reflecting on their own experiences, and starting to talk about them in detail, and it gets them clearer on something they've already done. The mentee is at the very beginning stage, hearing it for the first time. So the mentor really has an advantage and really has a value there that a lot of people miss. So I always do that. And then the fourth thing I do is I capture my ideas. I've been capturing them more and more now, especially lately. I use my cell phone to use the voice-to-text feature, and I talk into the phone, and I send myself an email of this information. I basically start an email and then hit voice-to-text and then capture my idea, and then I email it to myself. Because, you know, your ideas, they come and go, and when you lose them, they're usually lost forever. So I always try and capture my ideas using my cell phone or whatever I have at the time, so that way I don't lose them. And it's really paid off, especially in public speaking. But, you know, all over, it's really paid off. So those are the four things I do. I have a clear vision. I educate myself continuously. I have a mentor, and I mentor others, and I capture my ideas.
Excellent. This is good. I hope anyone who happens to stumble across this episode and listens to this can pull something out of it. Maybe we're not telling you something new, or maybe we are, or maybe this is something that you needed to hear another time before you decided to take action. Either way, we hope that you can gain some value from listening to this. And Bob, I do want to thank you for coming on the show, taking your time out. It was a pleasure to have you. You gave us some great stuff to chew on, and I would definitely like to have you on again.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Caden. I appreciate it. You're going to have a killer show here, I think you're doing a fantastic job. So keep up the good work, and thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. And it is our intention to continue this show, make it a more regular deal. As I said before, this is our first episode, so we're getting an idea, feeling out the water here, and the water feels pretty good. So I do want to thank anyone who decided to come on and listen. Again, I want to thank Bob, and I am your host, Caden Monroe, and I am signing off.